chuva. Utfilah utstaka ma'avirin et ruach gzeira Rosh Hashanah. Less than a week to go. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Pasha Nitzavim. Pasha begins, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, Lifnei Hashem Anokich. You're all here standing here, Baruch Hashem, alive and kicking, in front of Hashem. The Sforno teaches us, what does it mean, Lifnei Hashem Anokich? Umi Sheyete Oti, Lo Yuchal Otototo. About that thought, Kablo Lechem. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, after leading the nation for over 40 years, says, when you're standing in front of me, I'm Basar Vadam. You could fool me, deceive me, pretend to be one thing, really be someone else. But when you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tam Nitzavim Kuchem, Fnei Hashem, they're no games. It's the real deal. So we know the Shlach HaKadosh talks about the relevance of every parsha as it falls in the calendar of the year. It's not by chance. Before Rosh Hashanah, to be standing in front of Hashem. Everything we've done. There's nothing that went unnoticed. Front of Hashem. One's familiar with the very famous Ramah, appropriate to read inside this time of year, the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber writes about the importance of getting up in the morning on time. And the Ramah says, Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid, hu klal gadol b'tor, hu malot ha-tzadikim, asher olchim lefnei Elokim. It's the idea of Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should always be in front of a person's eyes, is a klal gadol. It's a big klal in the Torah. A person wants to know how to become in the malos of the tzaddikim, step after step, that's where it begins. And the Ramah goes into detail, Ki en yeshivat adam utnuata vaska v'hu levado veto, ki yeshivato utnuata vaska v'hu lefnei melech gadol, that the way that a person acts when he's sitting at home, relaxing, chilling with his friends is not the same when he's in front of a great king. The way that a person speaks, hanging around, isn't the same way he speaks in front of a king. Says the Ramah, Kol shekein sheyasim adam elibo, shemelech hagadol hakadosh baruch hu asher melocho laretz kvodo omed alav roeh b'masav. Kal v'chomer, if a person thinks for a moment and realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Malchei HaMelachim is there, everywhere. There's nowhere where God is. Wherever He is, Hashem's standing over Him, watching every single thing that He does and that He doesn't do. Kemo she'nemar yisater ish mistarim v'ani lo ra'enu neum Hashem. And then says the Ramah, Miyad yagi elav v'yira v'achna v'fachad Hashem. The person just thinks about that. The Shavisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. Atem nitzavim ayom kuchem lefnei Hashem. Just to realize that. Automatically, a person will surrender himself. He'll have the fear. Uvashtomi menu tamid. Be embarrassed in front of him. Tell stories of Nachum in Breslov. Then he was a kid. Out of nowhere sometimes, he would just totally blush and turn red. People didn't understand what was going on. But Rav Nachman was embarrassed about something that he did in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He blushed. That's how the sense he felt. Being in front of Hashem. Story that I like to tell, many of you have heard it, so I won't go into all the details. The story that Rav Yaakov Misaligora told at the Lavaya of his father, the Rajina, about a chassid that was on the way to ask a shayla of his Rebbe. It's a long story, but the bottom line is that he gets stuck. Someone was very nice to Machrisim Orchim on Shabbos. He And he was there for the entire Shabbos, and it turns out that the host was also a big Rav, the Rav of the Shul. And everyone around wanted to know, why doesn't he just ask his question to the Rav, the Baal HaBayis? And the Chassid said, no, you don't understand, it's not Shaykh, I have to ask my Rebbe. I was traveling for days to get to the Rebbe, he got stuck there for Shabbos, didn't get to his Rebbe. It's a long story. But the bottom line is that meal after meal came up two or three or four times over Shabbos, and each time the Chassid was more and more and more uncomfortable. To the certain point, the Baal HaBayis looks at him and says, no, I host you the Shabbos. I gave you a bed to sleep in. I gave you the suit that night. I gave you the suit during the day. I gave you Shal Shuras. Now, Abdullah, the very least you could do is ask me your question. At which point the Chassid says to him, you just don't understand. You're not going to understand. So the Baal HaBayis very, very angrily gets upset and yells back and he says, I don't understand. You think you can read my mind? Chassid, embarrassed, feels horrible, doesn't say anything. Okay? The Baal HaBayis, the Rav, Alamdam, Shtika Koda Dami. Okay, you think you could remind? You think I could remind? So he says, all right, I'll tell you right now what I'm thinking of. You guess. See if you can read my mind. Chassid's bad, he doesn't know what to say with himself. He's thinking to himself, Ribono Shalom. Shavisi Hashem Negdi Tamid. As he's saying it, the words kind of come off the tip of his tongue. At which point, the Rav, the Baal HaBayis, has this huge smile on his face, cheek to cheek. He says, ha! You think you can read my mind? That's the furthest thing from my mind. At which point the Chassid says, you see why I have to ask the question dafka to my Rebbe? He says, Rav Yaakov Misadigora, the Hegel Rejiner, his father's a Levaya. He says, that was my Abba. My Abba was a Jew of Shavisi. Not just three times a day when he was davening. Not just when he was benching. Not just at the time that he was learning Gemara. But his whole life was a life of Shiviti. During Zman, during Vein Zman, and during the week, during the weekends, during Motzei Shah, it doesn't matter. Shiviti Hashem Menegdi Tamid. And that's where we stand. Right now. Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Hayom. Mamash. Lifnei Hashem. And we have to be real. It's easy to play the games with everyone else around us. And usually we play the games with ourselves. We daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Tarli beinu le'avdecha be'emet, be'emet es be'emet." The truth is scary. But to look in the mirror and say, where am I? Who am I? How much do we really recognize that we're standing in front of Hashem on a regular basis? Now, every once in a while, I like to ask guys in yeshiva, when was the last time you thought of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Sounds like a ridiculous question, right? You're all day long in yeshiva. But you know, the Baal HaBatim have a certain advantage that we don't have as yeshiva guys. Because Baal HaBatim think of God at least three times a day. You know what those three times are? Shacharis, Mincha Maariv. They're doing something else with their life. They stop everything they're doing, they go down. They stop everything they're doing, they go down. They stop everything they're doing, they go down. But sometimes in yeshiva, even the days kind of get blurred together, and we're just like in one long conveyor belt, and we're just continuing. And you don't stop and say, okay, I'm learning Torah of a cost. Meaning, think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To be true with ourselves. How much do we realize that we're standing in front of Hashem? You know, Rosh Hashanah, anyone that started learning about Rosh Hashanah, learned about the fact that the Ikur of Rosh Hashanah is being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was a Melech HaKal Aretz. Is anointing Hashem as the king over the entire world. Not just all the Jewish people, and not just all the humanity, and mankind, but over Mamish, the entire world. That's Rosh Hashanah. We daven, Rosh Hashanah. That every single creation should recognize and realize that God created it. But before we could talk about coming into Rosh Hashanah and anointing God over the entire world, let's be honest with ourselves. Am I ready to anoint God as king over me? Am I ready to really accept that God is my king? And what the king says goes? The key to everything? Klal gadol b'toru malot ha-tzadik. The key to everything is Shavisi Hashem v'negdi tamid. Sifrei Musar, including the Mesilas Yesharim, talk about how the Yetzirah has one major, major main tactic. And he works using a tactic 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's just to get us to stop thinking. Because as soon as we stop thinking, we fall. If we think, the sky's the limit. You can get anywhere. You can do anything. There's nothing that can stand in our way. But once we stop thinking, the floor could collapse from underneath us and free fall to anything the Yitzhar wants us to free fall to. It's almost like in Looney Tunes, right? When the guy runs right off the roof. And as long as he's running and he doesn't look down, everything's fine. When he stops, he's done. That's what the Yitzhar wants us to do, to stop thinking. There's not a single sin a man will ever do at a time that he's in the state of Shiviti Hashem Le'Nagita. In the morning, a person says to himself, Shiviti Hashem Le'Nagita, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is right here looking at me, sitting next to me. You have any suffix to jump out of bed in a quarter of a second? There's no suffix. The problem is we don't think. And if we don't think, then we're free prey. The beginning of our parasha is a constant reminder. And it's a reminder right before Rosh Hashanah that we're nitzavim, that we're standing there in front of Hashem. That we always have to remember the Shiviti. As much as we always have to remember the Shiviti, the avoda that we have in this time of year is more specific. Because the Ramah, right? Shiviti Hashem Anegi Tamid is Tamid. It's always. It's not the week before Rosh Hashanah. Not Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Aseres Yimei Tshuva is something more specific. Tshuva, tefillah, and staka. Let's speak about tonight these three ideas. Start with staka. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, after speaking about kapara, vidui, and Perek Aleph, in Perek Bet gets the tshuva itself. Begins with famous Rambam talking about what the peak of tshuva is, tshuva gmura, being in the same situation. Then he moves on to talk about the basic definition of tshuva, and then he gets into what the Rambam calls in Halacha Dalet and Hey, midarchei tshuva. Right, things that aren't the definition of tshuva, but they're things that enhance tshuva. Someone that wants to be chozer tshuva, things that help him along. And there the Rambam has a long list, Tashav, Tzoik, Tamid, Lefnei Hashem, Bebechi, Utachnunim, should cry in front of Hashem, will set Tztakak, if he kochom, Tarchei Karbeim, and Adavari, should distance himself tremendously, not just stop what he's doing, but to distance himself. Umashin Hashmo, and should change his name, and should move, and put himself into exile, himself into Golos, and a whole bunch of things. But amongst that list is the idea of Tztaka. And the question is, what's Pshat? Everyone knows, this time of year, Tshuva, I understand, right? Tshuva, it's tefillah, I understand, we're dying in front of Hashem. But staka, I mean, staka is an excellent mitzvah. It's important. But why dafka this time of year staka? How is that? A, why? And B, the Rambam lists as something that enhances tshuva. Why is it enhanced tshuva? One idea, which I think is at the core of the issue, is to realize that God creates man in order to challenge him, in order to give him bichira chofshit. God creates man as an egocentric being. Our goal as a Ovdei Hashem is to transform our lives from an egocentric existence to a theocentric one. To realize that our lives shouldn't revolve around ourselves, but our lives should revolve around the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Hashem wants. Now what that whole set of halachas is in the Rambam is certain things a person could do to try to take the focus away from him. Whether it's changing his name, whether it's putting himself in exile. And it's the same thing with tzedakah. There's nothing that's more dear to a person than his money, than his possessions. And for him to stop and say, my possessions aren't just for me, but to do with them what God wants me to do with them. And if God wants me to give them to someone else, to give them the tzedakah, then I'm willing to do that. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to realize that I'm not in control, but I'm allowing God to call the shots. Then we're already heading in the right path. Imani lets me man. If I'm only for myself, to say, hey, it's not about me. Because at the end of the day, sinning is about me. God wants one thing, I want something else. The question is, okay, tug of war. God wants me to do X, I don't want to do X. God doesn't want me to do Y, I do want to do Y. So who's stronger than who? So the objective answer we know. The question is, God gives me the choice subjectively to decide what I want, how I want to act. Not how I should act, but tachlis, what I end up doing. But it's more than that. It's not just an issue of the yachid. I spoke a little bit this morning, early afternoon before mincha. But it's an inyan of the tzibur. I mean, staka, opposed to all the value that I gain from giving staka and the way that I look at the world, staka has an effect on those around me. Everyone's familiar with the second Mishnah of Avos, Shimon HaTzadik, al shosha dvarim olam omeid al haTorah, v'al avodah, v'al gemilut chasadim. What's interesting is that those three things, Torah, avodah, gemilut chasadim, are parallel to our Avos. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, in reverse order. Right? Why Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? Right? Torah, avodah, gemilut chasadim. Gemilut chasadim, chesed, is the midah of Avram. Avodah is the midah of Yitzhak, the midah of Gvura, the midah of Zedin. And Torah is Yaakov. Right? Yaakov, Ishtam, Yoshev, Olim. As I'll teach us, right? He's sitting in the Beis Menash, Shem, Beis Menash of Avram. Those are the midos. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, in other lingo, Ahavas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and Emes. The mid of Avraham Avinu is the mid of Chesed. That connects very much to the Gemilus Chasadim, Chesed, and it's Tzedakah. That's what we're doing. We do chasam, staka. Staka is something more than anything else that creates bonds amongst people. To really help people. When we're in a tzibur, that's the opposite of stom. In stom, they had an ideology of not giving staka. Because everyone should learn to make a living for themselves. But that's not what we believe. We believe in giving. In connecting. That's Avraham Avinu. That's chesed. That's staka. Part of reading Atem Netzavim before Rosh Hashanah. It's a very, very important Yesodedik or a Chaim. I recommend everyone taking a look at it before Shabbos or on Shabbos. Where he talks about Atem Netzavim Ayom Kolchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Roshechem Shiftechem Zikenechem. Everyone, the men, the women, the children, Tapechem Gerchashe Bekarecha, the Gerim, the Chotvei Tzecha, Chovei Memecha, even the lowest echelons of society. Everyone's there together. And the Or HaChaim says that's exactly the point, that before Rosh Hashanah we need to be ba'achdos. Everyone has to be together. V'yaso kulam guda achat, we say in tefillah. Like everything, all the other great things in Klal Yisrael, in our history, and Bezrat Hashem in our future, comes from the achdos. It's the ishachad b'lev achad in Har Sinai. You know the base of English is the shorikas of Sinan chinam, Bezrat Hashem we built avat chinam. The coming together, the achdos is what we need. That's stuck. Avraham Avinu. Weiter. Tefillah. So tefillah is avodah. Shoshad v'rim olam amin al Torah al avodah v'gimul chasadim. Here we have the clear parallel of avodah. And tefillah is the gvura of Yitzhak Avinu. The connection to gvura will leave for a different time. But that's Yitzhak Avinu. As we get closer to the Yom Noraim, l'chora, there's a half a minute to give the entire sikha just on tefillah. The person was smart. He would make time every single week to spend a significant amount of time learning about tefillah, figuring out what he could do to improve his tefillah. Because at the end of the day, the tefillah is our connection between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what connects. Get Rashi. Naftali Elokim Naftali, Mechati Gam Yechalti, by the name Naftali. It's a lashon of tefillah. It's to connect. That's what tefillah is. We'll leave it for a different time. One quick machshava and some practical advice. Realize where we are. Everyone felt it the first day when they came to yeshiva. And maybe for the first week. And maybe still in the first month, I hope. But some people let it go stale. Look out the windows. Where are you? The entire city and the entire country and the entire Middle East, and the entire world is davening to where we are. You look out the window, the entire world, all the tefillos of the entire world
are directed towards the Makom HaMikdash. Not just our tefillos, but our parents, and our great parents, and our great grandparents, and our great great grandparents, going all the way back in history, are all towards here. Our Beis Medrash sits opposite the most kadosh place in the entire world. There is no better place with more potential to connect in Hashem and tefillah than here. Stop and ask yourself the following question today, tomorrow, and every day. Am I really taking advantage of that opportunity? MS! Be real. You don't have to tell anyone else what the answer to that question is. You have to know for yourself. Am I really taking advantage of that opportunity? It's such a schos. Chaval to let it slip by. Take advantage. Four practical ideas of what a person could do to improve their tefillah. I'll say them quick. Each one can be developed at a different time. You know, tefillah itself is a very, very difficult thing. You know, especially growing up in Chutz Haaretz. I remember when I first came to this country and I realized that Israelis here get to daven in English. Meaning, they get to daven in their mother tongue. Right? Wherever you are, in Chutz Haaretz, tefillah is always a problem. Right? In school, it's a problem. In camp, it's a problem. In shul, it's a problem. Everyone deals with the same issue. How can we make tefillah meaningful? Everyone's sitting there talking. Right? So kids are talking about what kids want to talk about, and adults are talking about what adults want to be talking about. No one's really into the tefillah. And if you think about it, there's something fair about that. Meaning, tachlis, for 99% of people are sitting there with a sitter up in front of them. They're being asked to sit there for a couple of hours and say blah, 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 blah. And how long can you say blah, blah, blah for? You know, so you start talking about the stocks. Or the ball game, who knows? You don't know. Israelis get down in their mother tongue. There's a very easy solution. I'm not recommending that you stop everything else in yeshiva and spend the next week reading the art school sitter in English. But, slowly but surely, kima kima, read the translations of the tefillot. Start with Shon Esrei, Shema, and major things, then branch out. There's nothing wrong with reading something over in English, especially getting to Yom Menorah, to read something over in English, and to say in Lashon HaKodesh. Again, we daven now this Lashon HaKodesh, but to read it over at the same time. Know what you're saying. If every day you work on it a little bit, you find a couple times over the week. So, Bezerat Hashem, over time, you'll be able to connect it, feel more and more, because you're able to understand. After that basic level of understanding literally what the words mean, is to try and understand the tefillot on a deeper level. We know that Anshei Knesset HaGdolah coined the tefillot that we have this day as a set tefillah on one hand. On the other hand, they chose the words in the tefillah in a precise manner that every single Jew, whatever situation he could be in any generation that he's living in, could be able to connect to God in the way that he needs to connect to God through the Nusach HaTfilah. But in order to do that, I have to understand what the Nusach HaTfilah is all about. I have to understand. Not just literally what it means. It's translated in the English part. But to take Sfarim, the deal on a deeper level of the Mashmut, the significance of the Tfilah. The more that I learn about those, the more I understand. There are many Sfarim out there. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the Sfarim in English. There are other good Sfarim as well. Lashon HaKodesh. Ones that more give different compilations of the different Rishonim. The majority of the Rishonim and Achronim wrote Perushim on the Siddur. Just to look at the different ideas. Since Farim, like Avodat Alev, or Olat Tamid, many nowadays like reading Nefeshim Shon or Rapinkas, that really goes Mamish Be'ion on the major Tefilos, also translated into English. That's one area, is understanding the Tefilot themselves, both literally and at a deeper level. The second is to understand the concept of Tefilot. For tefillah itself to be more meaningful, not just the words and the prayers, but the tefillah. And that also is broken into two. One is to understand what it means to daven. What does it mean that my tefillah connects me more to Hashem? What does it mean to stand in front of Hashem? To make a request of Hashem? How does Hashem relate to my tefillahs? What is tefillah? That's something like everything else. It's something we need to learn about. It's something we need to understand. The more I understand, the more the tefillah is going to mean something. And a deeper level. It's not just understanding tefillah, but who is Hashem that I'm davening to? the more that I'm able to connect to Hashem, the more I'm able to understand Hashem. And vice versa, the more I'm able to understand Hashem, the more I'm able to connect. Who is Hashem? I'm davening to Hashem. Who is Hashem? Lahavdil alfei alafos. Every conversation you have in the world, the more you know the person you're having a conversation with, the more the conversation is more meaningful. You sit with on a bus next to random strangers, so you can talk about things and great. But when you know someone, and you know who they are, and they know you, the conversation has a lot of potential, more potential, do you know what I mean? It's not any different than Kadosh Baruch Hu. The more you know what's on the other side, the more significant it is. Now, inevitably, everyone that's in yeshiva is constantly working on this, whether they realize it or not. Because every shir that you hear, even if it has nothing to do with tefillah, that connects somehow to understanding God in a different way, whether you realize it directly or indirectly, it's going to improve your tefillah. Again, the four ideas, two, each one's broken into two. One is the tefillahs themselves, both literally on a deeper level. The other is the concept of tefillah, both what tefillah is to daven to Hashem, and who Hashem is that I'm davening to. These ideas, and just the cores of the ideas, are good with tamid, for all times here. But kal v'chomer, when it comes to tefillah of the Yom HaNoraim coming up, Zerat Hashem, Alinu L'Tov. Last but not least, tshuva. Now, tshuva, I would save the best for last, is the one that's the most complicated. A person could speak about tshuva all along and not exhaust what they're talking about. But I want to speak two specific points and questions that arise from the parallel that we brought up a moment ago. We just said, we daven, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, mavrim et ra'ah gzera. And that tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah is connected to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In reverse order. Tzedakah was Avram Avinu. Tefillah was Yitzchak Avinu. And the tshuva is Yaakov. It connects to their midos, chesed, gvur, and emet. And also connects to the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Al shosha advarim olam omeid, ala Torah, ala vodav, al gmilut chesedim. Now, if that's true, so it turns out that the two things that tshuva connect to are emes and Torah. Two things which don't make sense. L'chora, tshuva is the exact opposite of emes. Meaning there's emes, and then there's rachmanos, right? Tshuva is not emes. Emes is if you sinned and you deserve to be punished. So the midah of emes says, be punished. There's no second chances. That's the way it is. You can't redo what was done. That's not emes. That's playing all kinds of poilish shtick. It's not emes. Secondly, what's the connection between tshuva and Torah? Meaning, the connection between gemilas chasam and tzedakah is obvious. The connection between avoda and tefillah is even all the more so obvious. But tshuva is parallel to Torah. They both start with the letter Tav, but besides that, what? So let's start with emes. How is tshuva emes? No. It's a pasuk we say every day in davening, "Bel Tzion titen emes liYaakov." So everyone's like, "Emes Yaakov." And Yaakov, there's a lot of good things you could say about Yaakov Avinu, but Yaakov was emes. How many times does Yaakov pull all kinds of shtick and tricks? So the joke is, no, Yaakov wasn't emes. That's why it says, titen emes liYaakov. I mean, you have to give him the emes because he doesn't have it. Let me say to Hashem, titen emes liYaakov. What's the problem with that pshat? The continuation of the pasuk says, chesel Avram. So we know that Avram has chesel. So I have to understand. What does that mean, titen emes liYaakov? The answer is that we don't understand. We don't understand because the way that we look at the world, we say that Yaakov is an emes. But if we really knew how to look at the world with the proper perspective, the lenses of Amuna, we'd realize that Yaakov is emes. And the same is said, we said about tshuva. We realize that tshuva is emes. From the right perspective, tshuva is emes. Perhaps we can understand how tshuva is emes based on the Gemara that teaches us that tshuva existed before the creation of the world. There's a braita that appears in two places in Shas, both in the Dharma and Daf Lametetz, here in Pesachim and Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, the writer says, "Vatanya Shivat Dvarim Nivru Konim Shinivra Olam Ve'Elohim." There are seven things that were created before the world: Torah, V'Tshuva, V'Gan Eden, V'Genom, V'Kisei Kavod, U'Beit Hamikdash, V'Shmo Shel Mashiach. And then the Gemara goes on, brings all the pesukim to prove the claim. Well, you can look inside afterwards. Here in Pesachim and Daf Nun Dalet, you have an Adar and Daf Lamatet. What does that mean? The tshuva was around before the world was created. First of all, not to get too philosophical, but we know that time was part of the creation of the world, right? And the part of tshuva that is sheker is the fact of time, of how you could go back in time. The tshuva is around before the world, so it's connected to a point where there's no time. But let's put that on the side for a moment. Our world is known as the Alma Deshikra. It's the world of lies. Why is it a world of lies? Because it's a world that hides a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, the name of our world in Hebrew is Olam. The word Olam means Lahalim, to hide. Our world hides Hashem. What does it mean that our world hides Hashem? The objective reality is that Hashem is everywhere in the world. But Hashem creates a world that disguises itself as everything but Hashem. The truth is that every normal person should walk on the street and see God everywhere, just like Uncle Moshe does, right? But the reality is that your normal person, walking through the world doesn't see God anywhere. Where is God? I don't see any God. Why? Because that's God creates the world as an Alma Deshikra. Our job, as a Mamlechet Kohanim and a Goy Kadosh, as the Jewish people, is to reveal God in the world. To pull up the covers. To take off the masks. To show the world that at the core of everything is a Kadosh Baruch. How do we do that? By doing tshuva. By returning. By returning to our essence. By returning to ourselves. Every single Jew is a son of Hashem. He has the potential to be so close to Hashem. But he doesn't think about it enough. Spoke about it this morning. It's just to think about who we are, the potential that we have, that we're the children of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm not going to repeat the joke about the coin for the third time. And Jacob will tell me that it was better in the daytime, not just better in English than Hebrew. But Bechozor, it's late at night. Shtickle of a story. I was going to Poland. I know there have been a lot of late night meetings. The guys are big fans of Poland. Maybe when you're there, Krakow will take you to the Isaac Shul. I had the schud many years ago, being there one of the very, very first Shabbos when they pulled out all the garbage and all everything there, to be able to echshu squeeze in there and daven Kabbalah Shabbos there on Isaac Shul. Isaac Shul has a true story that goes behind it. The story is about a Yid, Isaac ben Ezekiel, who was a Pasha Yid. Simple, but serious, devoted. He wasn't too big of a Talmid Chacham, but he tried, he learned, Koveitim, said a lot of Tehillim. And he'd always daven to Hashem for anything he needed. He was in a situation where he had a lot of debts, married off a couple of daughters, and the situation got worse and worse, but he would still go out to the streets and cry out to Hashem. Mamish. Shivisti Hashem l'negdi tamid. Mamish, pure. Attendant Savim, Mamish standing in front of Hashem, really pouring his heart out to Hashem. And one night he has a dream that there he is. He's at a specific place, and it's revealed to him that in that specific place where he is, there's a huge pot of gold. And that pot of gold would be enough not just to get him out of debt, but to give him unlimited anything he wanted in his life. Not just him, but his family for generations and everyone around him. And like all good dreams, everything's great until
you wake up.
You go, just a dream. Goes on with his life, disturbed by his debts and doubts, etc. And that next night, he has the same exact dream, and he sees the exact same place. And he finds himself there in Prague, standing in front of the palace. There's a bridge there in front of the palace. Anyone that's there, it's there to this day. And there's the bridge there, and he sees himself there underneath the bridge. And underneath one of the foundations of the bridge in front of the palace, there's a tree. And under the tree, he sees is revealed to him, there's this huge, huge pot of gold. And once again, he wakes up. And the next night, he dreams the same dream again. And this time, there's a voice that says to him, Isaac, go get the gold. Go get the gold, it's for you. And he wakes up. And he says, all right, I have nothing to lose. And he says, what, am I crazy? Some crazy dream. And all of a sudden, I go and start traveling now from Krakow to Krakow. But after the dream repeats itself night after night after night, the same exact dream, standing there in front of the Palace of Prague, in front of the bridge, by the tree, underneath the foundation, the pot of gold. He says to his wife, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I got to do it. Figures out exactly what he has, takes a few more loans, sells everything, and get there. After a couple days of travel, he gets there to Prague. And sure enough, exactly as he saw in his dream, he was never in Prague before, but exactly as he saw in his dream, there's the palace, there's the bridge. He sees exactly the scene, the foundation and the tree. It's almost too good to be true. He takes out one of the very, very few things he had with him, which was the shovel he brought, and he goes down. He's in disbelief, and he says, he almost turns around to go back, what am I, crazy? But he says, listen, I came all the way here, I might as well try, whatever. He goes, takes a shovel, sticking into the dirt. A little bit of dirt takes out. Wasn't very strong. Wasn't very well nourished. A little bit of dirt. A little bit of dirt. As he's digging, he hears a voice. Hey, you! Czechoslovakian, of course. What are you doing? He looks up. It's a scary guard from the palace. Aimed right at him. Doesn't know what to say. I think he's trying to collapse the bridge. Who knows what? They're going to hang him on the spot. Shoot him dead. His mind can't think fast enough to come up with a good explanation of what he's doing. So, when all else fails, what does he do? He tells him the truth. He says, you don't understand, I had a dream, I'm in a lot of debt. And he tells his guard the whole thing. The guard's looking at him like his mom is crazy. He tells the entire dream. He says, you mean to tell me, because of a dream, you came all the way from Krakow to Prague? He starts laughing. Ha! Crazy Jews. He says, and what if I told you that right now I had a dream that in your house, in your backyard, underneath your tree, you had a pot of gold. So now I'm going to run to your house. Get out of here, you crazy lunatic, before I blow your brains out. He runs as fast as he can all the way. He gets home. Comes to this house looking down. His wife's like, no gold, huh? She said, no, that's the bad news. But there's good news. She's like, what's the good news? There's no gold. He says, the good news is I'm alive, because you'll never believe what happened. His wife's listening. And again, the moon, like in Mitzrayim, always comes from the woman. She says, what did he tell you? Can't hurt. Sure enough, he digs underneath the tree in his backyard and finds a pot of gold. Takes the gold, the majority of it, pays off his debts. Turns instantly to one of the wealthiest Jews there in Krakow. Builds a shul, Shem Shemayim. That shul exists there till this day. But there's an important nimshal to this story. Isaac went all the way to Krakow, went all the way to Prague, just to realize that the treasure that he needed so badly was right there in his backyard at all times. His whole life long, it was there. He just didn't know it. Sometimes we travel across the world to come to yeshiva. We learn Messiah Shas. to try to find our treasures. And we need it. Because it could be that if Isaac never got to Prague, he never would have fought the dick. But what we have to realize this, is the treasures are inside of us. The kochos are inside of us. The potentials are inside of us. Neshama, shibarata, Torah. Neshama, is Torah, it's pure. It's a shtickel of Hashem. There's lots of sheker in the world. There's lots of things hiding it up and covering it up and disguising from us who we really are. But if we peel down all those layers, the core is treasure, is gold. It's raw, raw, raw potential to get so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mamish to be bedvekis with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To get to Yom Kippur, and in Yom Kippur we're in the Cheder Yichud. Ne'ila is standing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the door being locked to be in Yichud with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have it. We just have to realize it. And once we realize it, Makirim, then we can go ahead and realize it. Like Akshim, we can materialize it. We can make it happen. We have the potential in our DNA from all of our avos. The chesed, the ava, and the moon of Avram Avinu, the gvura, and the yira, and the ability to stand there and tefillah in front of Hashem from Yitzhak Avinu. The emes, the hasmada, the mysterious nefesh for Talmud Torah from Yaakov Avinu. What tshuva is to leave behind all the lies, and to return and to connect to our essence. Our essence is the emes of the world. That's tshuva, is the emes of the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We opened up with Nitzavim. As far as the second question we asked, and with this we'll conclude, as the connection between tshuva and Torah, that can be found dafka in the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha, we have those famous psukim talking about Bechira Chofshit, Tzchar Va'onesh, and how God lays it all on the line right in front of us. And Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Reina Tati Lefanecha, right? Hashem gave in front of us. Life and death, choose. Good and bad, choose. Bracha and Klala, choose. If you do good, you'll have life, you'll have bracha. You choose bad, you'll get Klala, you'll get death, up to you. Then he tells us, Uvacharta L'chayim. He gives us his tip. It's like the guy behind the ice cream store, right? There's two different flavors, and you can choose this or that. But he says to you, psst, trust me, this one's better, right? Gives us a good tip. God's giving us a tip. Go for life. Go for brachas. B'charta b'charim. What's interesting is that the combination of the words here appear in one other place in the Torah. Here we have these ideas. Hayadoti b'chem ayom et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. The heavens and the earth. Chaim v'mavet. Tov v'ra. These are expressions that are taken straight out of the story of Gan Eden, from the very, very beginning of the Torah. What's the connection? Here Hashem's talking about keeping the Torah. What's the connection between keeping the Torah and Gan Eden? Well, let's start out like this. The Torah, in the original form, was kept where? Where do we keep the Torah? We see the Torah, the Luchos and Arsina. Where do we keep it? In Aron Kodesh. What's on top of the Aron Kodesh? The Kaporet, right? What's on the Kaporet? Two Kruvim. There's one other place in the Torah where there's mention of the Kruvim. Besides, as part of the Kli of the Aron Kodesh on top of the Aron Kodesh. Where is that? Back in Gan Eden. When Hashem chases Adam Rishon out of Gan Eden, after the Chet, the end of Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vayigaresh et Adam, Vayishkeim Mikedem L'gan Einen et HaKruvim, et Alat HaCherev, et HaPechet, L'shmor, Derech Eitz HaChayim. Hashem kicks Adam out of Gan Eden, but Adam and Rishon can run right back in. So what does Hashem to put to stop him? One is a cherva mitapechet, a revolving sword. I'll have to understand that in a different opportunity. The other is kruvim. He puts the kruvim, whatever kruvim are, he puts kruvim there to guard the entrance to Gan Eden. What does that mean? Meaning, if the kruvim are the way into Gan Eden, or the way to keep us out of Gan Eden, I mean, they're on the border. Okay? They're border control. Making sure no one runs back in for a free ride. And the only other place we see the kruvim is on the Aron Kodesh, where the Torah is kept. What that means is there's no free rides. But if you want to get to Gan Eden, the way to get there is to go through the kruvim. And to go through the kruvim is to go through the Torah. Dafka, the Torah, is the way to get back to Gan Eden. A person that wants to have eternal life in Gan Eden, in Olam Haba, Rambam, leave that for a different time. The way to do it is through learning Torah. It's through living a life of Torah. I'm not the first one to come up with the drasha connecting the Torah as the path back to Gan Eden. You know who was? Shlomo HaMelech. Ever hear of a sefer called Mishlei? They're back there in the Tanakh. Shlomo HaMelech in Perek Gimel of Mishlei teaches us a pasuk which everybody knows because it's in the Tefillah. Everyone daven's b'kavana. Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba. The Torah is an Eitz Chaim. It's a tree of life for those that grasp onto it, hold onto it. What does it mean it's a tree of life? It means that the way to get to Eitz Chaim is through the Torah, through the Kruvim, as we learn, comparing the words in the different places. That's a comparison here in Parshas Nitzavim. The way to have a life of Torah, you want to get back to Gan Eden, the Shemayim, the Aretz, and the Tov, and the Ra, is through Torah. Go back to our parallel. There's no better way to do tshuva. Now's the time of year. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. We spoke about tzedakah, we spoke about tefillah. There's no better way to do tshuva and to return to Hashem than through Torah. I mentioned to my guys this morning in Shiva, I want to repeat to everyone because Mamish, advice to remember for the rest of your lives. The Mekubalim say that the last week of every year has 50 times as much potential as the rest of the year. Why? Because the last week is an opportunity to be metaking the entire year. The past Yom Chamishi that's already behind us had the opportunity to be metaking every single Yom Chamishi of Tavshin Ayin Gimel. Right now, with the beginning of Yom Shishi, Erev Shabbos. In this Erev Shabbos, I could correct and elevate every single Erev Shabbos since the beginning of the year. If I didn't daven Shachris as well as I should have, I didn't daven Mincha as well as I should have, I didn't learn as much as I should have, my Midos weren't as good as I should have, my Yirat Shemayim, my Avos Shem, whatever it is. If I do it right this Erev Shabbos, it doesn't only count for this Erev Shabbos. It counts for every single Erev Shabbos of Tav Shinayin Gimel. Do you realize the loaded day that we're sitting in? Don't let that opportunity slip through your hands. And the same thing is true for Erev Shabbos and Shabbos and Yom Rishon and Yom Sheni and Yom Shishi and Yom Revi'i. These last 6 days now, minus a couple of hours, standing in front of Rosh Hashanah is a golden, golden, golden opportunity. Bezrat Hashem, we have to be mechazek ourselves in every single day of this week. To recognize that we're standing in front of Hashem. Atem nitzavim ayom. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. We have to make sure to take advantage of every moment we can. There are a lot of other things in our lives. Think about whether the world's going to collapse if they wait another week. Because this is the week to take advantage of every hour, every minute, every second. To shivisi, to atem nitzavim, to tshuva, to tefillah, to tzedakah, every moment. Other things could wait. This is the time. We're going to be standing there in front of Hashem and being judged. Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim, Ptuchim Lefanav. It's not a game.
There's no reset button. That if you don't like how it's going, you can just start the game again. Or go to the store and buy another one. This is your life. There are no more excuses. I was a kid, I was in bar mitzvah, okay, I was bar mitzvah, I was in my parents' home, I had to do with it. Now you're on your own, you're living your life. The decisions that you make now will affect the rest of your life. MS. Vitali Beinul Avdachav MS. Now. It's time to get going. Bezrat Hashem. Take advantage of every day. And in 6 nights from tonight, next week in Yom Revi'i Balayla, we'll be standing together with Chacheinu Kol Beis Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael. And together with the entire world, we'll be Zoche to Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech, as King over the entire world. Without getting into what's going to be, there is going to be a war in the region. It's not going to be, it's going to turn into World War III, nuclear wars. Who knows? Who knows that the Mashiach is going to be here Bezrat Hashem before next Rosh Hashanah. Bezrat Hashem, when we stand in Rosh Hashanah and we anoint HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech Malchei Melachim with ourselves, the entire yeshiva, with all of Yerushalayim, with all of Eretz Yisrael, with all of Klal Yisrael, and Kol HaKolam Kulo, I'll be Zoche to Mekayim what it says when we say every day at the end of Aleinu, Vaya Hashem LeMelech Kol HaAretz Vayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Shabbat Shalom.